Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
We're going to look today at a topic entitled Today. Say Today. And this may become a series because the Lord impressed upon me that simple word that we all know, we say it all the time, but there is something of God in that word. There is something by the Spirit of God that He wants to convey to us. And sometimes what happens is words that we're very familiar with, they lose impact. We know the definition, the meaning. But even in common words, there is a word from God. You believe this? Even in common words, there is a word from God. And I want to share it today and get into it probably again on next week because it's so key. All right, we're going to take our first text today from 2 Corinthians and chapter 4, verse 16. Paul wrote, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." In fact, read with me. "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." And of course, outward man, inward man means inner person, man in a generic sense of that term. Now, let me say this to you that One thing we never want to do is escape. Escapism is never good for us. But it is good for us to rest, to have vacations and so forth, as we have all done this month. But what we need is the ability to cast our cares on the Lord. So then escapism is not what we're after. We're after being able to cast our cares and burdens and worries onto the Lord. And that's what we're going to talk about today in this message today is what God wants to do with us today and every day. And of course, the scripture suggests there that what's happening is that there is renewal taking place in the inward person day by day. So every today that rolls around is an opportunity for what? Renewal. Say renewal. All right. So we're not just talking about, you know, we know about the importance of coping. Coping skills are important. We learned to cope the past 2 years through COVID, didn't we? Coping isn't escapism. Coping is facing and dealing with and managing and overcoming. So coping skills are important. But the most important factor to everything is that is God promised that He is going to He is renewing us day by day. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I am being renewed day by day. Now, at the first of the year, we began with this theme, a place called forward. That's been the theme and still is the theme for 2022. And I remember we brought a message entitled The Power of Today. And I want to revisit part of that message because it's still a relevant word. Every day is today. And so whatever God says on the day you hear Him is important. So I want to revisit here, you know, in the middle of the year, just past the middle of the year, and renew us in this revelation of what it means to live in the power of today. Now let me look at another version of our text. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, Amplified Bible says, "Therefore, we do not become discouraged, spiritless, disappointed, or afraid. Though our outer self is progressively wasting away, yet our inner self is progressively renewed day by day." That brings it out pretty well. So we're looking at the inner person, the outer person, basically the physical and the spiritual. And we know, we feel this, that the outward person is wasting away. That sounds pretty bad, but it's just, you know, it's kind of the truth. You know, there is There's decay, there's change, we're aging. But not just, listen, y'all, not just old people. I looked up last week and I noticed that LeBron James is 37 years old. And it said he's old. Somebody called him old. Now, you know how that works. Now, I get it. In professional sports, I understand that. But he is by no means old by any standard other than NBA basketball. Tom Brady is 44 years old, turning 45 next week, still playing NFL football as a quarterback. They say he's ancient. Now, see, LeBron is old and Brady's ancient. So what does that make us? Prehistoric? I don't know what it is. The idea, you know, Paul's a kind of preacher. He just told the truth. But notice, though, he didn't just leave us with the notion the outward self is perishing. He came right behind and said, but the inward self is being renewed day by day. And that's where our focus needs to be. See, my focus needs to be on the fact I am being renewed day by day. Now, Hebrews 3 and 13 says this, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. Now, we'll see this word today throughout the Bible. That's our topic, obviously. And there's a lot there. And I want us to recapture the meaning of today. You know, the word kind of rolls off of our tongues. There's a TV show called Today. But I want us to make today a word from God. Say, Lord, help me to make today a word from you. Not just when I'm preaching, but the truth of what every day represents. So then, exhort each other. Now, I'm doing it now through preaching. We do it through the prayer conference calls. You have friends, you call, you text, how are you doing? You know, we do that because we know the power of exhortation and the power of encouragement. So we offer that to one another. Let's look at some quotes I found. It's kind of nice. Sometimes you can Google a word and find some quotes. Here's some quotes I'm going to share with you. Help us again to make today, that word today, special. Make it a word from God. All right, change your life today. Don't gamble on the future. Act now without delay. Someone named Simone de Beauvoir. I guess you say it that way. But change your life today. Don't gamble on the future. Act now without delay. We know how it works. You know, sometimes we delay. We all have regrets about delaying some decision. We understand the importance of not being hasty. We don't rush in. The old saying is, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Now, we're not talking about that. But there is that moment in time, which happens today, whatever day that might be, where we're supposed to take action. We don't gamble that tomorrow will be better. You don't just take that chance. If you're clear, you act now. Say, act now. Without delay. All right? Next quote here. If you fell down yesterday, stand up today. H.D. Wells. That's a good one there. Because sometimes we're into regret. Something happened yesterday. Well, guess what? This is today. If you fell yesterday, you can stand up today. The best preparation for tomorrow is doing your best today. H. Jackson Brown, Jr., your best preparation for tomorrow is doing your best today. These are obvious statements, but I need us to really focus in on that word and that concept, that reality today, because the inward person is being renewed day by day. So pay attention to what God wants to renew. Say, if God is renewing me, say, if God is renewing me, day by day, let me pay attention to what he's doing today. Yeah. Sometimes we can go through a phase and muddle through. Maybe it's circumstances that have driven us to a certain place where we're not paying attention. But a according to the scripture, we're being renewed day by day, even on a bad day. We've had bad days now. But even on those days, according to God's word, you were still being renewed. And being renewed, that word, the verb tense of it, is not just a one, it's a progressive. As Amplified said, it's a progressive act. Next quote. Live today, not yesterday, not tomorrow, just today. Inhabit your moments. It always mentioned about that. Inhabit, you know, be present. Be present in what God is doing in your life. Don't, he says here, live today, not yesterday, not tomorrow, just today. Inhabit your moments. Don't rent them out to tomorrow. Don't act like, well, what I'm doing, what should happen today, I just leave it for tomorrow. No, don't rent it out. Don't give it out. Focus on it today. Finally, today is a new day. Don't let your history interfere with your destiny. Now, history need not interfere with destiny, but sometimes if history has had some bad episodes in it and some hard times, then we may look at history and stay fixated on history and miss the moment of today and miss the renewal that God's doing today. Now, we're dealing with two realities. Number one is outward, which is perishing. Number two is inward, which is renewing. And of course, if we only focus on the outward, that can be a little depressing. It can make you kind of sad thinking about what was and what's going away and what's changing and what's not. You know, those are things that are obvious, but things that if they're obvious, why focus on it? Why focus on the obvious? Why focus on what you cannot change, you cannot control? You understand it, you embrace it, you thank God for it, but that's not where your focus is. Your focus is on the second reality. He said, inward reality, and that's about renewing. So outward's about perishing, inward's about what? Renewing. And as the Amplified Bible says, our inner self is being progressively renewed day by day. Now, here's my key point. Here's my key point for the whole message. I want to say it more than once. One of the reasons for today is this. Today is when life begins again. Say that. Today is when life begins again. Now, that's it takes some thought to really embrace that, because it goes to the scripture about being renewed day by day. So then, if you're being renewed day by day, no matter what happens or what happened, then the new day is when life begins again. Now, I got this picture behind me of a sun. It's a sunset. Sunsets, sunrises look, similar. I call it a sunrise for illustration purposes. But I like sunrises because I'm reminded, no matter what happened the day before, this always happens. The sun always rises. Now, I may not see it because of clouds, but no matter what happens, the sun always rises. I've always enjoyed when I fly somewhere, take the flight, and you may leave on a cloudy, rainy day, and that cloud and plane goes up through the clouds, and guess what's up there? The sun. The sun is there. No matter what the condition, the clouds are always below the level of the sunshine. And no matter what our conditions, God is always above the level of your clouds. So, slide again, please. So, one of the reasons for today is this. Today is when life begins again. Now, that thought may be more important to you on some days than others, right? Elohim spoke last week about, you know, grief and loss, and we've all had losses in our lives, and we know what that's like. And sometimes, you know, certain truths mean more to you at certain times of your life. And you think, I can't go on because, someone has passed on, and what am I going to do? Well, you're going to wake up the next day, and your life will begin again. Now, it may feel like your life ended yesterday, but according to what the Word said, we are being renewed day by day. So if we embrace the renewal, what has happened is your life has began again. Say, Lord, thank you. Every day, my life begins again. Not a whole new life, you know what I'm saying? But the life you have is renewed. Renewal is powerful, y'all. We can talk about that word. Well, I may come to that in my series. Renewal is such a powerful thing, and it's something very unique to Christ's followers. I mean, inward renewal is something very unique to people who follow Jesus. He's a specialist at changing. You know, we came in this thing, the Word said that we are new creations in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. He didn't say you get all new things. He didn't say you get all new things. He said all things become new. That's renewal. That's the power of today. One more time on the slide. One of the reasons for today is this. Today is when life begins again. Let's go back and look at an example from Exodus. We shared this in the first of the year. And let's go back to this with Israel leaving Egypt, okay? So the renewal you experience today helps you in your circumstances. Now here's the circumstance. Exodus 14, verse 13. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever." That's a pretty strong word right there. That's strong. I mean, you've been in bondage hundreds of years, and God is saying today is the last day of this bondage here, of this situation. And, of course, they thought the last day was when they left Egypt, right? They're on the way out of Egypt and marching toward the promised land. Hey, it's done. But no, when they got to the Red Sea, Egyptians were coming from behind, right, charging them. They realized, I thought we were out of this. You know, life sometimes does that to you, right? You think you're out of something. You think you're through it. And something else comes up. But again, we're being renewed day by day. So he says, I'm going to do something for you today. And he says, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell children of Israel to go forward. We taught you forward is not a direction. You can physically move sometime, north, east, south, or west. But forward begins in your heart, in your mind. It begins with embracing today. The promises of God today. What did God say? He said, today is the last day we will see the Egyptians in this way. And I want us to get that in our minds, that the renewal you experience and I experience today helps us in our circumstances. Let me add this. It's not in my notes or slides, but I listened to, again, Paul Scanlon. You know, he's a brother I listen to a lot. And I've known for a long time as an acquaintance. But he talked about in one of his teachings I listened to last week about dealing with how to solve problems. You know, sometimes you can't solve a problem. You have to dissolve it. You dissolve it. You can't solve it. You dissolve it. And the idea behind that is when you're trying to solve things, you're wrapped up in your thinking, in your emotions, going over and over things that you cannot solve. And you're still going around and around. When you dissolve it, you reduce it. You reduce it to a level where it is no longer in your mind as a factor to dominate your thinking. You reduce it. You can't forget. You can't forget. But you reduce it. You dissolve it. And so that you're able then to shift your focus back on other things. Now, you know, this is all, it's a mental exercise, is what it is. It's a spiritual exercise. You know, it's almost like, well, it's exactly like when the Bible says, cast your cares on the Lord. He's not saying your cares aren't important or that cares don't exist. He's saying, dissolve it. Give it to me. Dissolve it. Dissolve. You can't solve it. Dissolve it. Let me have it. And you reduce it in your mind. Say, Lord, help me reduce problems in my mind, especially ones that I cannot solve. Now, you know, obviously the things we have to work on, we have jobs, we have careers, organizations to lead, people. We just, you can't dissolve everything. You wish you could, you know. I got this credit card. I'm going to dissolve the credit card debt. Yeah, well, when you pay it down, it'll be dissolved. I'm not trying to get us to do magical thinking. Hear me. I'm talking about what the Bible says, that as a part of being renewed day by day, then today's the opportunity to let God help us. And for Israel, they couldn't solve the problem of the Egyptians, but God dissolved it by delivering them through the Red Sea. Amen, somebody? Amen. And then, as he said, today is the last time you'll see this army. I'm going to dissolve it for you. You know, God can do that. You know, sometimes we have to do a mental exercise and spiritual and prayer and fasting, but sometimes God just dissolves stuff. I mean, sometimes God himself just moves it out. Thank God for that, too. So whether, you know, sometimes God says, hold your peace, and I'll fight for you. God says sometimes you fight and I'll be with you. It's either way. Sometimes God says, you hold your peace, I'll handle it. Or he'll say, you handle it and I'll be with you. Either way, it's renewal. Amen, somebody? All right. All right, Hebrews 3:25. He says, remember what it says. Remember what it says. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. And that example is about Israel. Israel, when God sent, well, several occasions, but the one that comes to mind now, when God said, send those spies into the land to check it out and bring back report, they came back and said, 10 of them said, hey, those are giants over there. They are bigger than we are. We are as grasshoppers in their sight and in our own sight. We can't do this. And, of course, Caleb said, no, we are well able. We are well able. We, it is, you know, us and God, well able. So then that was rebellion, where the people missed the opportunity to go into the promised land because they brought back a report, evil report, God said, because they act like God didn't know what was over there, or God couldn't handle what was over there. So he's saying that for us today as an example, when you hear God's voice, it's for us now. When you hear, remember when it says, right? Today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Now, how can you harden your heart to God? Watch this. This really kind of helped me. I think it helped us all. All right, today is the time, here's the slide, today is the time to hear God's instruction because yesterday is past and tomorrow is not promised. This is the danger of procrastination, saying no or wait to God. Now think about this. If the Lord is clear with us about what he wants us to do today, he's clear and you're clear, you heard him clearly, you know it's clear, and then you don't do it today, then we're essentially saying to God, no, or Lord, wait. Think about that. That's not the only outcome, but if we're clear, that's the caveat. If God is clear and we're clear, and we don't act on what he says. We're essentially being rebellious. We're hardening our hearts by the simple act of saying, Lord, no, I'm not doing that. No, no, not now. Lord, wait. As if God's going to say, okay, no problem. So it's yo, that can be a dilemma. Now, God won't throw you out of the kingdom for that. He won't not, you know, he won't hate you. Obviously, he'll love us always. But think about this. How many times can we get away with saying no to God or wait to God? And then we come up later and asking God for something else. Now, he's merciful. Thank God his mercy endures forever. And to be true about it and real about it, sometimes, you know, our hearts are in a place where we aren't able to say yes. I know that too. I know it very well. But at some point, we need to not harden our hearts, not do anything other than obey God. Remember when it says, today when you hear God's voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did. Don't act like Israel. Don't make the mistake they made. Amen, somebody? Because the reason this is important is that, you know, there are occasions when God will speak things he wants to do in a particular time or season in the future. We know this. God gives us times and seasons. We do things when he wants things done. We know that. But there is the principle still that when that day comes that you've been waiting for, anticipating, praying about, and then God says, okay, now today is the day. That's when we have to respond, because listen, you can only have faith on the day that God gives you his word. You can't store it up for tomorrow. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now or today. And I've learned that I had to repent a lot when I realized that I missed God, because if I miss him, he won't throw me out. I get second chance, third chance sometimes. But what happens if you miss obeying God, somebody goes without a blessing. My disobedience may hinder somebody else's blessing. My disobedience may stop a whole progression of good things unfolding for somebody else. Now, listen, if we're all talking about just what I want, me, myself, and I, if it's about me, none of this stuff matters. I'm talking about if we're people of purpose, people committed to being a blessing to other people, then our obedience to God opens that door for God to work through us where others are concerned. Now, again, we're not saying be hasty. We would never say that to you. But there is a time and a season. I say this. Some things don't have a time and season, like prayer. I mean, if God says, I want you to pray about this, you don't just, well, Lord, wait or no. No, you go right into prayer. You find a way to do it. There are things, if God says give, if God says serve, if God says, there are things we know that don't require a time and season. And let's be in the habit of being obedient. Get into the habit of saying yes to God. Don't say, Lord, wait. Oh, you got that. So again, that danger of procrastination is in saying no or wait. We all know how bad procrastination is. We all know that. All right, so back to our text. Look at 2 Corinthians 6, different part of Corinthians. Chapter 6, verse 2 says, for God says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's from Isaiah 49, verse 8. So there is that acceptable time. There is that season in which, that window in which God wants to operate and do something for us. And in that window of time, again, there's always today. And the day in which we hear it or we know it, or that days around that, there come a time when we are called to account. He says, now, this is the acceptable time. Now salvation is a context. I mean, you know, if a person, when God wants to save somebody, And he calls them, they hear the gospel and are invited to know Christ. And that's always the acceptable time. And how many times have people said no, or they said wait, and they go on in their sins, and some people don't even live forever. Like, well, no one lives forever, but some people die, I'll say just frankly, die before they get a chance to even get saved. Although God is very merciful. I don't judge that. But for us, he says, now is the accepted time. Now, or today, some version says, is the day of salvation. So the word now equals today. Say now equals today. Today is the only time that matters. And of course, that'll be true tomorrow as well. But in our thinking, today is the only time that matters. And I find that when I'm thinking and planning and praying about things, we all have to be intentional. If it is a planning day, if you set aside time to plan, make plans. Because you can always change it. Doing nothing is the problem. You got me? Because you know what it is, if you don't plan the vacation, everybody else will fill your vacation time up. When your time comes, you ain't going nowhere. Right? Or in our jobs, in our leadership capacities, if we don't do what we plan to do or had set aside time to, if we don't take today as the only time that matters, then other things will rush in and fill up that space. Amen, somebody. Many factors resist our awareness of today. All right, here's some things that really hinder us in embracing today and the way we're talking about it. Number one, living a long time in a negative condition, like Israel. When you've been through something hard for a long time, we adjust to it, we adapt to it, we actually embrace it. And that's a part of the coping skills. But the problem with that, though, is if and when, really more when, not if, when God wants us to change, our resistance to the change is, Lord, or the, not Lord, but I've been this way for a long time. You know, when God came to Gideon, I'm with you, you mighty man of valor. I'm going to use you. Gideon came back, well, Lord, now hold up here now. I'm poor, my daddy poor, whole family poor. We've been this way for a long time. We've been down so long, like Little Ross said, getting up never crossed my mind. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we are threshing wheat in a wine press. We're not using the wine press for grapes. We're hiding. We're so scared, we're using the wine press for wheat. So that's how Gideon came. So when you've been a long time in a negative situation, it resists your awareness of today. Number two is recent dramatic change. You go through some drama, and drama is all over life. Things happen. And that will linger. You know, something happened, you know, we all been, for example, into maybe a car accident, even a minor one. It lingers. It's on your mind, you know. Or you hear about some other tragedy somewhere in the world. We're having these mass shootings. And there's this craziness all around us. I mean, there's no end of things to be concerned about. Well, I would go on vacation, but, you know, they've been doing mass shootings now, you know. Yeah, well, you know, yeah, but that is exactly a concern. But should you let that dull your awareness to today? Why would you not act on what God has for you today because of recent dramatic changes, all right? Next point here, it's difficult to hear, you don't belong here. That's what God was saying to Gideon. Gideon, you don't belong here. Gideon, you don't belong here. Sometimes we have heard or felt that, you know, maybe as African Americans or females, you're someplace and you don't belong here. You feel like, well, I don't belong here. Oh, you do belong here. Or you feel like, you know, when I go to a certain restaurant, now we are way past this, right? None of us have this problem, I'm sure, right? You don't go somewhere and think that, should I be here? I can, but you know, it hits our mind, doesn't it? Here we are in our 50s and 60s. We've been delivered all our lives. And yet we still are hesitant to go in some places, to drive certain neighborhoods. Now, of course, folks don't help that by following you around, you know. My wife and I were on vacation in Michigan, and Michigan went to the Ford Museum, Edsel Ford Museum. The son, he has a museum. His house, his estate became a museum. It's on the coast of Lake Sinclair, St. Sinclair. So we go in there, it's, you know, big estate, cars and pictures, family stuff. It's the guest, you know, it's the visitor center, not the main house. So I'm walking around there, Pat and I going through there, and I'm looking around, it's very nice, and I saw this guy behind me. Oh man, I'm being followed. He's not following me. Nah, I just changed rooms real quick. And I changed room, here he come around the corner. And I changed rooms again, here he come around the corner. I thought, oh man, I'm being followed. He wasn't following Pat. He's following me. I think, really? Really? I almost said, dude, are you following me? I leave him like that. Then he called, you know, National Guard on that, you know what I'm saying? But my point is, but that don't stop me. I enjoyed myself. I just kept on looking at stuff. Now, I wasn't driven out. Maybe that was the sense of it. No, you don't belong here. Now, my wife and I debated why it was going on, why he did that. Then we left that place. What was that town called we were in? Coastal town. Very. Grosse Pointe. Then we left Grosse Pointe, and we're going to head back toward, you know, the south. And we drove about four blocks, and we're in Detroit. Straight hood. Northern Detroit. I mean, suburban, straight up hood. And everything changed in about two or three blocks span. I'm like, oh, okay. Gross, I got it. They may have thought I came up from Detroit. I mean, really, because you don't act like that unless you're too close to somebody you're afraid of. So the point is, don't let that thing come in your mind, you don't belong here. That just hinders your view of today. Today is your accepted time. And finally, it takes bold, faith-filled action to change your mindset from yesterday to today. Say, Lord, thank you for bold and faith-filled action to change my mindset from yesterday to today. All right. I'm going to skip ahead and finish it next week, all right? So let me skip ahead. Let's go to the slide that says what is sometimes missing, okay? So what is sometimes missing in our instruction or in the response of hearers is the urgency of now or today as it relates to doing God's will. That's my message here, all right, all day here, is that, you know, there's sometimes a missing sense of urgency that when God is speaking to us from his word or an opportunity arises in ministry or something, is that we don't have that sense of urgency because we're missing the fact that this is a part of being renewed day by day. Listen, y'all, daily renewal requires a daily response. So we pray, we do devotion every day, not because we're religious, because we love God. We can't wait to meet God in the morning. Amen. So Israel had that problem. And so we see in the Old Testament, part of what happened, what Moses did in Deuteronomy was he wrote the book, and the word today appears in that book 167 times. Far more than any book of the Bible, the word today. And God said to them over and over again, today I command you. Today I'm giving you these promises. Because what Moses understood was the reason they left Egypt and had to wander in the wilderness was because they weren't embracing today. And the day when he sent the spies into the land, they came back and said, oh no, we can't do this. The giants are there. And so they didn't embrace today. That day was their time. Say, Lord, yes, thank you, Lord, for showing us this land. Yeah, we're ready. Let's go today. That was God's idea. Ideal. But the reality was they weren't ready. And they backslid straight away. And Moses saw that. And so the whole idea to the book he wrote was to retrain the people to embrace today. All right? So again, the key point. One of the key reasons for today is when life begins again. Say, Lord, thank you. Today, my life begins again. Mm-hmm. One example, I mentioned about the dissolving a problem. Go to the slide about the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 12. Look at this. The Apostle Paul dissolved a problem. I'm going to ask you to do the same thing today. So it says this, 2 Corinthians 12, 8, Paul wrote, concerning this thing, the thing was he had an affliction of some kind. He said, about this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me, a thorn in the flesh, it was called. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Now watch this. So what Paul had, we don't know what it was exactly. Well, it was a messenger of Satan to buffet him, he said. But the point is, my point to us is concerning this thing. Now, whatever your thing is, like Paul's, that seems to be persistent, that seems to never get better, never go away. And like Paul, we plead with God that it might depart from me. And God did not take it away. What God said was, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So he dissolved it this way. All right. Okay. Uh-huh. So I got this going on. It's afflicting me. It's weakened me. But God said his grace is sufficient for me. Then Paul said this crazy thing. Paul lost his mind. He said, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Oh, Paul, what happened to you, man? But hold on. There's more. He says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses. I take pleasure for Christ's sake. Here's the reason. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's a very profound example of how to dissolve a problem. I can't solve it. I'm going to reframe it. The very thing in which I am weak, I'll let God exchange for his strength. The thing everybody knows that I'm weak in, they're going to see that God's going to elevate me above that, and through that, he'll make me a blessing anyway. And we see it all around life. You've experienced it. I mean, in your status in life, again, whether it's African-American or females, I mean, sometimes people don't expect much from you, and here you come, doing it, getting it done, showing everybody. What y'all thought about me was y'all were wrong. And it's not that I became strong. It's just that by the grace of God, he transformed what appeared weak, and I began to realize, Lord, I'm going to dissolve this and give it to you. And it became a strength. For when I am weak, then I am strong. All right, end up here in Hebrews 3:13 where we started. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. One of the reasons why we need to be encouraged is because when you're discouraged, a hardening takes place. Hardening in our heart, hardening in our thoughts, in our minds. We can become callous, right, through that sense of not being encouraged. And so that's why we want to encourage each other, exhort each other daily. I mean, somehow, some way, because spouses is built in for spouses, you know, but friends as well, among believers, that because we're not judging anyone as about to become hardened, we're just obeying God. And it's amazing that when we do what God said today, somebody is going to be blessed. If I act on God's word today, somebody is going to be encouraged. No doubt about it. And when I act upon today, I'm also going to begin my life again. I'll begin life again. Even though yesterday was hard, today is a new day. One last little story now, a little testimony. No, it's not testimony. It's just a fact. So we got another little cat, okay? He's a kitten, okay? Got another kitten. But what's interesting about this, you know, little creature like this is, every day they're excited about eating in the morning. They want to see you, not because they love you, so they can get fed, you know what I'm saying? But it's amazing when anybody is uncomplicated, we start seeing life again. Right? We start embracing the day. We start saying, Lord, thank you for the day. Like a little cat just jump up, run around, happy, you know, eat. And he had no kind of problem. He'll never have a problem, you know what I'm saying? But we adults and we older folk, man, we got so much. Until we can barely see that what day is this? We say, what's the date? What time? We don't know. We're so burdened. I don't know what time it is. Is this Thursday? Or is this, what day? It happens, doesn't it? But it won't, if we start the day with God every day, right, it won't, we'll embrace it and go pick up the load and carry it. I know that. All right, that's all, Stan. I'm done. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for encouraging us. Thank you, Lord, that as we have read and have seen in the scripture and just in our hearts, that, Father God, you are so faithful. That even as the Apostle Paul said, even though the outward is perishing, the inward is being renewed day by day.